And peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This Sunday is entitled Christ the King Sunday. And we all have images of what it must be like to be king. Jesus shares this morning a different vision. And it's one that's shared in our first reading for the day as well. We are accustomed to kingdoms that are made a certain way. And that kingdom usually involves power and push. And in fact, we sort of order most of our world around that kind of kingdom. We celebrate in our culture one of my favorite lines in the Old Testament is in that first reading. And in that reading, it talks about sheep and fat sheep, which I felt a little bit bothered by, and lean sheep, which probably some of you didn't worry too much about. But it's this image of I will judge between my sheep and my sheep, for you pushed with flank and shoulder and pushed my flock out of the way. And with your horns you butted and bullied and moved until my sheep were scattered. It's a pretty accurate description of how much of the world runs, isn't it? We see it all the time. We see it in politics. We see it in our careers. Frankly, we even see it in the church. There's always people who are vying for power and who are looking to create for themselves a kingdom that suits their fancy. We see it in the international stage over and over again as one dictator pushes out another only to be just as bad or worse than the one they replaced. Shoulder and flank, we push against one another to create the kingdom we want to envision. And then Jesus gives this picture of the last day. And in this picture, he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, it will look like this as he sits on his king, on his throne of glory. And he will separate people one from another, sheep and goats. In one of the commentaries that I listened to this weekend, the commentator said, look, I think the goats get a raw deal in this thing. He says, I think the goats always get a raw deal. So someone would ask me, well, what's the difference? What's the big deal between sheep and goats? Right? I don't know. I grew up in Phoenix. What do I know from goats? Right? Except that I know that a goat will eat not just anything, but everything. And that to keep a goat in and corralled and sort of, you'd never keep a goat as a pet, probably. They just, well, except for Mel, apparently. But you would, they're just pesky. Whereas sheep just sort of, where should we go? I don't know. I'll follow you. Okay. I will judge between my people, sheep and goat. And then he tells a story that the kingdom of heaven will be like this. It will look like this, and he will say to those who are on his right hand, come, you that are blessed, inherit the dominion prepared for you. And you know the rest of the story. For when I was hungry, you gave me food, and when I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was imprisoned, you came and visited me, the whole long Matthew 25 thing. And they go, wow, when was that? And then in the less popular second half of the story, and you goats, poor guys, You are damned to eternal fire and gnashing of teeth, because when I was hungry, you did not give me food. When I was thirsty, you withheld from me, on and on and on. And they too are surprised. When did that happen? They wonder. It's the nature that neither of the groups saw God anywhere where God expected to be. We've become so accustomed to a world narrative that is in love with power and push that we fail to see God where God sees God's self, among the least of these. It's a real change, a transformation in how Jesus calls us to see kingdoms and kingship. That somehow God is vested and present in those who are most in need and least seen. That somehow Jesus is present there in ways that are impossible for us to see. Now we have to be careful, because then we immediately just want to emulate Jesus, right? And which is not always a bad thing, right? What would Jesus do? But there's a problem. There's congregations that call themselves Matthew 25 congregations. You know what that is? I'll nod your head. Nobody knows. David, do you know what it is? No, you're very wise. Don't read any of the literature. So Matthew 25, what I love about this particular kind of thing is that they really take Matthew 25 very seriously. And feeding the hungry and helping the poor and seeing becomes an important part of who they are. But the danger becomes when they forget that that's really just a symptom of being part of the kingdom. It's the result, not the ladder, that climbs them up to the throne. And it's a subtle but important difference for us as well. There was something on the news this morning that really struck me. You know, we're all called to be to see the kingdom in a new way in this text. And I was so surprised this morning when on the news, which is really fun to watch on Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, they had a story about something that just absolutely matched with this text. There was a young man from Haiti. He's a migrant from Haiti. Of course, they sent him off to school, and he went to school like everybody else does, but then lunchtime came. And he took his lunch, and he sat, like so many of us did in elementary school and high school, out in the big dining quad or whatever you happen to have, but he was new. And no one would sit with him. Day after day, he ate alone. Now, that doesn't seem like such a big deal. But it turns out it's a pretty big deal. So when he got a little bit older, and he actually got to be quite a popular guy. Good-looking guy, you know, big guy on the football team. And he made a decision. He thought to himself, you know what? At lunchtime, I'm going to go find some kid that's sitting alone, and I'm going to eat with him. And he did. And it made such a difference for this kid. So then he got some of his friends to agree that they also, at lunchtime, would go and sit with someone who was alone. And it turned out there were a lot of them just sitting with no one to eat with. So he started a club at his school called, I think it's called, We Dine Together. Is that what we decided? Yes. Couldn't remember the name of it. I had to have some help. We dine together club. And pretty soon there was a whole group of people who made it their mission to sit with the lonely. Now, this club was not made up of whom you would think. When they were first talking about it, I thought, okay, these are all the geeks who didn't have anybody to sit with anyway. So they're going to go sit with somebody. But it didn't turn out. There was this one kid that they interviewed, one of these beautiful people that just make you mad, you know, big arms and chest and, you know, kind of like this, star of the football team. And he quit football to be in this club because it was so important. We dine together, they say. They saw something in their community that needed to change. It's something that seemed so small and so kind of ridiculously easy. But as they interviewed some of the people who had been the recipients of this ministry, it was astonishing. This young woman that they interviewed talked about, you know, I was sitting alone at lunchtime. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have any friends. I felt so isolated. Within 30 seconds, she just had tears flowing down her face. Who knew that sitting alone at lunchtime mattered so much? She said, and then they came, and every day, one of them sat and talked to me. What's remarkable about this story is the change in vision. The young man no longer just saw people who didn't matter sitting alone at lunchtime, but saw human beings who needed relationship and who needed to be part of the community, who needed to be transformed, who needed simply to know that some, at least one other person, actually cared. When I saw the story, I immediately thought of the king who probably would say to that young man, "When I was lonely, you visited me." It's a small thing. They have chapters of We Dine Together in 15 states now. By the end of next year, they hope to have chapters in 48 states. A small thing. As I heard that story, I could not help but think of how the kingdom was beginning to unfold in those places. And how the small and little things that we do, the feeding of those who are in need, the visiting for those who are lonely, simply being ohana for one another and for the world makes all the difference. And then in the end, it does nothing to do with our salvation, but it has everything to do with being human. In a world that loves to butt with the shoulder and push with the flank, it is the service to those most in need that God seeks us to see. So Christ is the King, but not of the kingdom we have fallen in love with, where power and domination and shame, where taking advantage of those who are least able and bowling over those who are unable to stand has become the norm for our society, Christ paints a picture of the kingdom which is quite different. So what is the kingdom you see? In Jesus, we have been called to see differently this kingdom that is unfolding before us, and to live more deeply and surely and confidently and freely in this kingdom of love. So what kingdom do you see on this Christ the King Sunday? You lean and fat sheep, you goats and lambs. Amen.